You're tuned into The Global Voice, and this is At The Tone. I'm DJ Frederick, and this is an hour of music for crate diggers, showcasing the best in library music, easy tempo jazz, psychedelic pop, and more. So light up the lava lamp, crank up the turntable. We will begin At The Tone.
Thank you.
artist who records under the name of Chaucerian Myth. From his album The Fairy Queen, we heard Book 4, Friendship. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to At The Tone here on The Global Voice at theglobalvoice.info. And I'll be back with some featured music right after this.
Exploring science in the sea. Blue mussels are riding the winds across the North Sea. They're not taking up windsurfing, though. Instead, they're colonizing the bases of offshore wind turbines. Over the next couple of decades, that could boost the mussel population, with ripple effects throughout the ecosystem. The North Sea is between Great Britain and Northern Europe. Winds there are strong and steady, making it an ideal location for wind farms. At the end of 2017, in fact, it was home to about 70% of Europe's offshore wind capacity, and thousands more turbines are scheduled to be installed there. Researchers from Germany looked at what the turbines mean for life in the North Sea. They counted the blue mussels on the bases of a few current structures in the North Sea. They then calculated how many mussels would inhabit all of the planned turbines. Finally, they used models to simulate what that could mean for other life in the sea. The researchers found that the turbines could yield a population explosion for the mussels. By 2030, mussels on the turbines could equal about 40% of the seafloor population. That should attract organisms that eat mussels. And as the mussels die, their shells will pile up on the seabed, attracting bottom-dwelling organisms. The mussels will filter microscopic organisms from the water. That will leave less food for some fish and other critters. And the effects could extend hundreds of miles from the wind farms, long-ranging changes powered by the wind. Science in the Sea is a production of the University of Texas Marine Science Institute at Port Aransas and is available as a weekly podcast at scienceinthesea.org. I'm Holly Brawley.
And this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to At The Tone on The Global Voice. I'm going to play some music now by Jersey Million from his album Bez Prasadi. some swinging tunes from Jersey Million from the LP Bez Prezadi, released on the GAD record label in Poland. Well, this is DJ Frederick. Spark up the lava lamp. Stay tuned for more At the Tone.
Bird note. In a salt marsh near San Francisco, a loud clatter erupts from the dense vegetation. These jolting notes, like a small engine cranking up, are the voice of a Ridgway's rail. The secretive bird peeks out from the edge of the marsh grass. First, the long red bill appears, followed by the cinnamon-colored breast and white-striped flanks. The rail takes a step forward on long yellow legs, revealing a stubby, upturned tail. Picture a slim, tawny chicken, but with the bill and legs of a sandpiper, and a singular voice to match its eccentric appearance. Once abundant around San Francisco Bay, the Ridgway's rail, formerly known as the California Clapper Rail, is today endangered. In the 19th century, unregulated hunting plundered the species. In the 20th century, rampant development reduced salt marsh habitat by 85%. But in the 21st century, the Ridgway's rail has allies. Restoration is underway to increase healthy salt marsh habitat for the scarce birds. Also, efforts to control the number of predatory cats are improving the chances for the Ridgway's rail to survive. You can see photos of this bird when you come to our website, birdnote.org.
Attitude, 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 attitude. Come and join the attitude test, not a platitude test, nor a gratitude test. You can join the attitude test at 18 UTC. If you feel like speaking your mind, there you will find a program designed to let you say your piece to the world, a place where you'll be free. You can call or you can write, you can verbally have a fight. It's on every Sunday night at 18 UTC. So come and join the attitude test. It's not a platitude test nor a gratitude test. You can join the attitude test with subjects of your choice on the
And welcome back to At the Tone. I'm DJ Frederick, and you're listening to The Global Voice. Thank you. Release from the band Mandala Eyes from Maine. That was a tune called Revolving Moment. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to At the Tone on the Global Voice. I'm featuring an album by Jersey Million called Bez Prezzetti, which has been re-released on the GAD label in Poland. Some very cool jazzy library production music.
Here's a program from our archives. This month, in and around Anchorage, Alaska, local parishes are observing their own version of Russian Orthodox Christmas, complete with the sharing of communal gifts. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is The Pulse of the Planet. Father Benjamin Peterson is Dean of St. Innocent Cathedral in Anchorage.
What's happened here in Alaska is that the Orthodox faith that they received from the Russians over 200 years ago has been kind of digested over the centuries, and it's really come out in some kind of uniquely native forms. But there are some aspects of even the popular customs of even small places in Russia that have kind of made their way here to Alaska, and I think one of them is starring. It's a tradition and a custom that comes from Ukraine, where at Christmas time, groups of people go from house to house carrying a star, a decorated star, singing kalyatki or carols. And somehow this has found its way here to Alaska, and our people also have the same custom, but there are various unique local traditions of how they do starring. In some areas they give gifts to everyone that comes to their homes. In other places they give canned food or preserved food to the people that come to their home. One village I heard, they have a custom of they go in the house and everybody gathers around and they sing, and there's $100 taped to the floor and then a whole bunch of frozen food on the top, and when they're over everybody dives for it. So there are a lot of different ways that people find to celebrate Christmas here, but they're unique to each village, and it's a custom that's really, I would say, highly regarded and precious to them.
This archival program is part of our 30th anniversary celebration. If you want to hear more, check out our podcast.
And this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to At the Tone on the Global Voice. If you'd like to correspond or have any questions or would like to communicate on any level, I have an email address. It is frederick@christiannewage.com. That's frederick@christiannewage.com. Another email that you might use, I check it less frequently, but it is WSCS, as in We're Sunapee's Classical Station, at colby-sawyer.edu. Now, I've been listening to a news program on National Public Radio called All Things Considered since it debuted back in the 1970s, And guess what I dug out of the At The Tone DJ Frederick archive? Yes, that's right. Some theme music from All Things Considered. Only I can find that stuff wonderful. Theme songs for 1976 to NPR's All Things Considered. Somewhere, Susan Stamberg is smiling.
Hi, this is J.D. Crow.
J.D. Crow knows bluegrass. J.D. Crow is bluegrass. So you can trust J.D. when he tells you to tune in to
Music for the Mountain Bluegrass.
Music for the Mountain Bluegrass, right here on the Global Voice. Saturdays, 2 hours Universal. Check the schedule for repeats.
Thank you.
There's no better magic than that song. Nick Drake with Northern Sky. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You've been listening to At the Tone on the Global Voice. I want to say thank you for listening and wishing you many blessings.